for listening to Black Women Are Scary, the podcast that celebrates people of color writing horror. Our Flash Fiction Friday guest is Lacase Cousineau, editor-in-chief of Seely Crow, the magazine centering diverse voices in horror, sci-fi, and fantasy. So let's lean in and listen to some scary Black women.
They can have gentle but hopefully fruitful support. That's all I really want to offer with the magazine.
Yeah. So for everybody who's listening, and I know I kind of said like at the end we'll talk about it, but we're talking about it now. So the Seely Crow is a magazine that has just launched this year, and it is fantasy driven. I mean, it says fantasy with flavor. Can you speak a little bit about, but I mean, I don't write fantasy, so I know it's like more than just fantasy. Yeah. Like it seems, and I recognize some of the writers in it that like do a lot of interesting work in horror as well, or like hybrid, like hyphenated, like fantasy horror, like, you know, kind of like mashup genres. I recognize the artist too, that artist that you had featured for this, for the second issue. I'm familiar with their work. So I was like, oh, she's got all the like peoples. Like I like knew everybody and I was like, hey, yeah, so-and-so. Oh yeah. So yeah, just speak a little bit about like what is fantasy with flavor.
Yeah.
And what do you have? What is this magazine about?
Yeah, I got you. Okay, so I love alliteration first and foremost. So I wanted to have that. For me, fantasy with flavor means fantasy that is really challenging those preconceived notions and ideals and standards in the genre. For me, fantasy is a place where anything should be and can be possible, or it doesn't matter where you're from, what you do, what you've got. You can, you know, everybody has a dream. That's what fantasy is for me, is just, you know, the subconscious and all that great stuff. So that's why I accept writing that's not just like hardcore fantasy, like high fantasy. You don't have to have elves, you don't have to have fairies. I want horror, I want speculative, I want science fiction. To me, that all falls under the fantasy, that, you know, that dreamscape.
I see. You know what I mean? Just like a break away from like new realities, really. It's not necessarily like dwarves and dragons. And I guess that's kind of what you mean by challenging these sort of status quos, like people hear fantasy and they think that is what they think. They think Middle Earth.
Right. Which I love. I'm a stan for Middle. I love me some Middle Earth.
Right. No, one thinks Black Panther. Like I never hear Black Panther categorized as fantasy, even though there's a bunch of like,
yeah, I mean, there's a magic flower.
Yeah, there's like magical a lot, but it's like, no, that's Afrofuturism. And I'm like, is it? I mean, I guess it, you know, like I struggle with that word of like, what does that mean? Cause every single time there's like a non-white person centered in a thing then suddenly it's Afrofuturism. And I'm like, but I don't think that's what the definition of that is. And then you know, Nnedi Okorafor, I hope I'm saying her name right, she talks about how she doesn't like, people are always like telling, you know, describing her work as Afrofuturism, and she's like, it's not, it's very, it's based in Africa, all over, you know, in different parts of the continent. So it's African futurism. Afrofuturism is very much about like Black Americans. That's not what I do. Like, she's just like, there's more than one genre for a Black person to occupy. Please Google a thing.
read a book.
Yeah, like try it. And the same thing with, you know, Octavia, where people say like she's the mother of Afrofuturism, and I'm a huge fan, and I mean, I'm gonna say what I'm gonna say, and people are gonna come at me probably, but I don't know that she writes Afrofuturism.
Am I the
only one?
No, like, I don't think you
read her books and been like, it is, because I think this is just sci-fi, a lot of this. And like, if it doesn't center a white person, does that automatically make it Afrofuturism? Like, is that the only
That's the
criteria?
only, yeah, that's the only criteria. And I do feel like in a lot of ways our writing gets so like cast aside, but also segmented in a weird way. Like you don't like Christopher Paolini, no one's like, this is like American future or like fantasy, blah blah blah. It's just fantasy. We no one looks at Percy Jackson and is like, oh, this is like New Age Greek like reinterpretation. It's just fantasy. So like why are we just and like it. In the same token, I do love those labels because I think they're great for like if you want a specific thing. But when that specific thing now becomes a broad umbrella monolith, which we're all trying to escape from under, who does that really serve? Because now people are getting lost in the shuffle. And I really think Octavia Butler specific. Oh my God, I love the first book I ever read. Okay, sorry, really quick story time. So when I really started branching out and trying to read things that I wasn't finding in school, you know, just reading, just going into a Barnes Noble was what I had. We didn't really have like a lot of indie bookstores, so it was like Barnes Noble, and just walking through and looking at the tables, and I saw Octavia Butler and John Gardner, his book Grendel, and then Octavia Butler's Kindred, and I was like, yes to both. So they were on sale, and I grabbed both, and I read both, and I still have both copies from when I was like 14. I inhaled them, but I inhaled Kindred because for anyone who hasn't read it, I really encourage you to, with the caveat that it's difficult to read. But I had never seen a Black American story that contended with not just the horrors of slavery, but a woman who's time traveling, and we're not trying to like science it up. It's just happening. You know, that shook me. And so I think about Kindred, and I don't really see it like an Afrofuturism. I see just like an excavation, you know, like a science fiction excavation of themes that we know are true. You know what I mean? So
That are just like a part of an American experience.
exactly.
I've read, Parable of the Sour, Parable of the Talents,
Yes.
and I struggle with it's like, how is this Afrofuturism?
Right.
In what way?
Right.
Like, I just because of the protagonist? Like, is that the only reason? I read the whole, see, and it's funny, everybody talks about Parable of the Sour, but it's like, I actually really like Lilith's Brood and that entire
So good.
series of
Yes.
that whole, like, four, what is it, like, four books? Like, that I inhaled them. I inhaled, it was like I
Excellent.
binge read them. And like, that's another one where it's just like, this just feels like deep science fiction to me. This does not, I don't understand how this is Afrofuturism, other
Yeah.
than when she's doing it.
Right,
It's the time that she's doing it in that I feel like, okay, well, this is where this word comes from, because nobody had ever fathomed the idea of Octavia, but like, no one ever thought, like, a Black woman who looks like her, just anybody Black, let alone a woman, would write anything. would write anything, period.
Period. End of sentence.
End of sentence. Like, you read books, you know what I mean? Like, people were so, like, the bar
Can
was
read,
so,
yeah.
like, their operating systems were, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're
Oh,
talking about like beta models here. So
beta now,
like they just, yeah, they
JavaScript,
just weren't smart people. When
right?
I hear the things that people said about her, I'm like, this is the time. Like, people were just
Wild, right?
not operating. I don't know, like, some of the comments, I'm just like, that's where you were at. Like, so you were just shocked that she, that anybody who didn't, that looked like her, wrote anything, let
Right.
alone what she was writing. And so there needed to be a whole, I don't know enough about how the term came into being to really understand. So I'm kind of talking out of the side of my face here, and I apologize.
Well,
But like, how did that even come into the word, the term Afrofuturism? Because I feel like now we're all, generations later, we're like wrestling with this, and I'm like, is this a thing that ex that makes sense, made sense in its time, and now is like not, is like less,
right.
it's like a dress that just doesn't fit anymore. It's like, but we've moved past that. So like, let's, like, not to say that people aren't necessarily still writing in Afrofuturism, but like, let's be clear about what that is, and then start using other terms as this, as this has broadened and widened, and more voices have come into the mix and are being published and are being
Yeah.
sought after by readers and by people who they're like, I want to see this now, you know?
Yeah, they want to change. And just a quick aside, so Audrey, sorry, I was gonna say Audre Lorde, Audra Russell, who has done some book reviews for The Steely Crow, writes about Afrofuturism and coming to love it. And I didn't know this, but the term was coined by a white man.
Maybe that's why I'm having such a hard time with it now, because it didn't
Probably,
come from
probably.
one of us.
It didn't come from one of us, but
Was a name that was put on us
put on us,
again.
but once more. But Yatasha Womack wrote about Afrofuturism specifically in the world of Black sci-fi and fantasy culture, and she defines it as an intersection of imagination, technology, the future, and liberation.
But how is that not sci-fi?
Exactly.
I don't know if I'm like, isn't that what sci-fi is? If I've been reading, do I not understand what sci-fi?
You know, I really, I sorry.
We're not even talking about the episode yet. This is supposed to be about the episode, and we are going to get to it. Gentle
We will.
listeners, we will get
We will.
to the
Bless you for your patience.
yeah, we will get to the episode that came out this month and our featured author, because this is Flash Fiction Friday. But this is what happens when I have these Flash Fiction episodes, is that we are just like, but what about this? And you know what? Actually, I think it really does kind of pertain
I would
to the
agree.
work of this season, because it's like, you know, I mean, Chiwetta Ejiofor doesn't, it cannot be categorized under Afrofuturism. However, she is very much writing futurism or in a futurist space for where she's from, which is India, right? So she is a brown woman. Like, if we, and you know, the interview that's going to come out with her later in the month for Final Friday, and just like talking with her about her work, and you know, even like moments where she realized that she had a bias, and she's like, why did I automatically think that this needed to be a boy? I'm gonna write it as a girl, you
Oh,
know, like all these like things,
yeah.
because she's really dealing with that intersection of imagination and science. Like, she also has books that she's written for young audiences that are just science books. You
That's
know,
so
so
cool.
it's
Yeah.
like an actual like, so and so invented this, and did you know, like, the one of those kinds of like after school specialist
That's fabulous.
kind of thing, along with like, I hope I bumped my mic here, along with things that are a little more fantastical. To your point, you know, she's got a whole series of like magical things and this, that, and experience walking around in Delhi but having powers and all the things.
Beautiful.
Yeah, no, it's great. I'm reading all your books after this, but yeah, so it's like, as you have that and many of the other authors that are going to be featured this season, it's like, where, you know, it's under solar punk, but I'm like, but what is that even really, like, what are we doing with these words? Like, why are we
What did they, yeah.
like, what are they helping us do here? Are they helping us do anything? And where do these authors sit in this lexicon, in this growing lexicon, right? So again, like, can we just say it's sci-fi? Like, can we just say it's speculative? Like,
Right.
do we need these
Do we need every
subgenres, do you
single?
think?
Well, you know, I wonder, this is now I'm talking out of my rear here. Don't take this as fact. This is just a thought I just had, and I wonder if this is in some way kind of tied to, can I say Amazon? Like, because they on Amazon, there is like what are they called? Like not titles, but my goodness, I've lost words. Help me here. Subgenre after subgenre after subgenre after subgenre that you have to click and click and click and click. And it's like things I've never heard of. And I just wonder if that is like pushed by, you know, book companies. Like, do we like, because if you sell a certain amount, and I'm sorry to get into like book marketing stuff, but like if you sell a certain amount, then you're a bestseller. And like the more refined the genre you're in is, the more likely you are to sell out. And so I just wonder, like, if all of that is
Is
tied
fueled by
to the
capitalism.
industry and capitalism. Yeah, because I mean, it's like I was reading an article on like this is how you can become a bestseller on Amazon, and it's like they have a selection here for like pirate last fiction or something, you know, something like that, something very, very hyper specific. You know, I not to minimize these, these genres down to a capitalist ploy. But I do always wonder, like, where does the art stop, and where do the sales and machinations begin? Talking about sci-fi, because to me it's all fantasy. Like you said, like it's all sci-fi. To me, it's all fantasy. We're all writing about the fantastical. We're all writing about maybe some hints of realism, but there is a spark there that does not really exist in our world. So to me, that is all fantasy.
Right. And I do think, like, I mean, the genres that help me are like knowing if it's the big ones, like sci-fi, horror, and fan, like just the big three: sci-fi, horror, fantasy. And I understand there's going to be mashups. There's going to be like people who do like slash this, slash that. And that there's little like subcategories within those. But those, like, if you're looking, it's like, well, do I want something that's about magic? Do I want something that's based in some kind of science or rooted in science, or something that's just scary? Right? Like, this is mostly monsters or some kind of monster. That's like pretty. And then after that, I guess you can get granular. But yeah, I do wonder if this is very much about that. It's about people being able to say, like, okay, no, but I want to read Afrofuturism, or I want to read this. I don't, like, so we need to have these sort of hashtags, if you will, these subcategories to help people find more what, season to taste, I guess. But I'm wondering about the like bigger effects of that.
Yeah, what does that mean for a writer who's writing whose intention is something else, but then they're lumped into maybe a genre that doesn't really fit for them? And are they lost in the shuffle? Because I see a lot of, emerging Black authors being shuffled into the Afrofuturism space that I really do enjoy. I think, just on a personal note, coming out of this grander conversation, I like, in some regards, having those, defining genres, because it does help me. But I do see, of course, like, if you've got any kind of sci-fi element and you're a Black writer, then bam, this is where you're going. When in reality, this is like a high fantasy, or like a straight science fiction. Like, we're going like Frankenstein. Well, I guess Frankenstein's kind of horror, but you know what I mean.
Frankenstein is
Like,
absolutely horror. Like, it's like
yeah.
the first horror
Let me
novel.
stop myself there. But or oops, you've written a Frankenstein, but you're a Black author. Now
Yeah.
this is Afrofuturism. Like, no, it's not.
Is
I've given you more.
it? Right.
Or I think about an issue three. I had the pleasure of speaking with Alexis Henderson, who writes horror, but I see a lot of her stuff labeled as sci-fi, or things like that. So I do. There's always going to be that. I not that I'm washing my hands of it, but I am bothered that that is always the case for Black authors. We don't get the same kind of like careful consideration, or just like open consideration that other author or that white authors get,
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, Beloved was never listed as a horror novel. And when I came to it, I did not come to it thinking I was reading a horror novel. And I was reading horror novels, but Toni Morrison was not a horror writer. And Beloved is not that. If anything, what people commented on was that it was kind of what is that it was written in the style of magic realism. And so I was coming at it as a young reader, just coming at it from that angle. And now, upon reflection, I'm like, that's a scary story.
It's
That's
a
a
ghost story.
horror. That's a horror novel. I don't,
A ghost story.
why is this not in the horror section? Why is the film not a horror film? How? Not why, but how is
How?
it
I
not? How
mean,
is it not? This babe, first of all, it's matricide. Okay, so this is where we're starting. We're starting with matricide. And then your dead kid that you killed to
is
save from
haunting
slavery
you,
is haunting you.
and now
And
she's back.
like, she's back and
Spoiler
she's
alert.
grown. She's somehow manifest, and you have to contend with this like entity that has come to reconcile, I guess, on the earthly plane. Like, when I describe this story, I'm like, how this is like the next movie that Jordan Peele's gonna, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, how is
100%.
this not How was that ever not considered? How did that even happen? And it's not like the film isn't really like presented in that sort of way. And neither is the book, but I'm like, but this is at the very least, can you say,
Terrifying.
can we agree that it's macabre? Like,
It's gothic, right? You know, you've got this. I mean, what is the gothic genre? It is things that will not lie, that will not lie still, that come back to get seek vengeance or bring things to light. I would argue the only books Toni Morrison wrote that are actual magical realism are Song of Solomon. What else? Maybe Sula a little bit. Beloved's horrific, scary. Paradise, nightmares. I mean, I would 100% agree with you on that. I mean, she's again, like I just got like the word excavation in my brain today, but bringing up the horrors of this like American Black American existence. And I mean, I love that you brought up Beloved, because that I've always thought, like, this is a ghost story. Like, why is
What
it
is
being
the
shot so brightly, Jonathan Demme? What are you doing? Why is
Do
everybody swathed?
you know that that kid is dead, right? That's a dead baby. Do you understand the concept of a dead baby walking around?
She killed her.
And then she, and like in the book, when she's described like how she talks, it must be, I was imagining like, and I was like, this is
Yes, the ring.
terrifying. Like, what? I don't understand. Like, spooky baby coming out of the. Anyways, I
Yes.
mean, like one of those things where it's like it's happening in broad daylight, but it's like the scariest thing you've ever seen, right?
Absolutely. The movie messes me up. And again, they have to cast her back to to the afterlife, the matron. It's a ghost story, 100%. But like you said, why isn't that the conversation? Why is it? Why do you think that people have conflated like horror and science fiction with being like cerebral, masculine, white things? And so, like, how could a Black woman write a good horror book? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I think there's unconscious bias
Yeah.
all around that, like, because the genre has been dominated by one group. And so everyone has accepted that those are the rules, everyone. And so when anyone else is coming in and being like, well, we're going to do something else because the genre is the genre. And everyone's like, but no, it has to be this. It has to be about like Michael Myers. You know what I mean? It's like, we can't have any other kind of slasher or, you know, like any other kind of killer thing. Of course, now that's like people are kind of moving past that. But I
Yeah.
find that even just in day to day, like whenever people ask me, like, what do you do? And I'm like, I'm a horror writer. They're like, they're either shocked, like you are, or, you know, and I've spoken about this with a lot of the other Black authors, Black and Brown authors. When you say that amongst Black and Brown people, the first thing that out of their mouth is, there must be something wrong with you. Something along those lines of like people who write that, there's something wrong with them.
What?
People who write that, there's something up with, like they don't un like you have to have a devious mind.
Oh, okay.
This is
No.
like these, I'm like doing real quotes. Like people who do that are,
Wow.
you know, like this is like things that people will say, and they'll say it all, like it's not
Wow.
even an insult when they're saying it. Like they're just like you're special, like almost like it's a compliment, but like
Yikes.
I'm like, I know that a lot of other authors, you know, within their own communities, it's difficult for people to, because it's so ingrained that like only white people get to talk about what scares them. It's like,
Yeah.
my dude, like for real, you're good with that. You're good with that. It's fine. Is
It's wild to
because I
me.
kind of feel like we've got the best horror stories.
Yeah.
Because all you have to do is talk about something that happened to you yesterday, and it's scary. So like, I don't
About
really,
generational trauma, babe. Have you heard about
yeah. Like, I'm like,
epigenetics?
just kind of sometimes the acceptance that I'll see, just even among my own community, of just like, but that's not who gets to talk about what scares them. That's not who gets to talk about the future. And it's like, that's interesting that you've just given that permission.
Why, yeah, why are we giving the permission?
I challenge you not to do that. And I challenge you to not think that like something is wrong with somebody
That's insane to me that someone
who,
would say that.
Yeah, like they really just think because they think it's the devil, you know, it's this whole idea like
Oh,
it's like the devil's work,
sure.
I guess, maybe. Maybe I don't know, or but just to go back to your whole like, do you think because of this, like this is who, if it's not this, then that must mean XYZ? And the answer is yes. I really think that like when people are like, oh, you must have a devious mind, or oh, people who write that are crazy, or oh, blah, 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 it's really what they're really saying is we're not allowed to talk about that. Unless it's through protest, right? Unless it's through the lens of like justice, or
Of
unless it's
course.
about the pain,
Yes.
right? It, you
Yes.
can do like if I said I write drama,
Oh, that's fine. That sounds great.
that's
Yeah.
fine. You know what I mean?
That sounds
Like it's
good.
like
Yeah.
if I write about Black people suffering, it's
Okay. Yes. Then it's
fine.
fine. Now I
It's
understand that. Now
fine.
I
Now
have
I
a
understand.
lens with which
Yeah.
to frame you. Not black elves. Oh, no.
But
Not a
like if
black
I'm
elf.
like I
Not a
wrote
black
well, you
ghost.
know, yeah, I'm writing a, you know, these kinds of things. It's like sometimes they're werewolves, and it's not to for any political anything. Like it's just because I want
Because
because it's fake. It's my imagination. Like I
I
why?
made it up.
Because they're not real. So like why not? You know. And so I think I always find that to be interesting when people, not everybody. I'm not gonna say like I'm
Oh,
gonna. I
sure.
don't want anybody to be like stop talking about Black people that way. We don't have. It's not true. Like not everyone does that, but there are definitely there's like a con like I've noticed that in my own experience and when speaking with other authors.
For sure.
I mean, I'm sure when you were like, I'm gonna start a fantasy magazine, they were like,
Oh.
sex fantasy? Is
Ah!
that
Oh,
what people
God.
like assumed, like or repeat, you know?
Yeah, well, you'll love this actually. So I just this last weekend I took my very first short documentary to a film festival, and my whole family came, like my brother, my parents, we took my son, my husband came, my husband's white, and I got enough passes for my family. People kept stopping my husband. Oh, are you the filmmaker? No, it's my wife. My wife. Oh.
Yeah, it's the
Oh.
surprise.
Yeah,
It's
and
the and
my film
people's.
is about Black people.
I love that.
But there's still just that perception
Yeah.
that, oh, you're the filmmaker. No, it's my wife. Oh, at one point, actually, I connected with a lady. Hey, Katrina, if you watch this, or listen to this, she stopped my brother, which was really cute because she saw us and she's a woman of color. And she's like, wait, are you a filmmaker? He goes, no, it's my sister. She was so excited, like, oh, okay, good. And she would like exchange numbers. But it was so funny to see that expectation. Like, and my badge said
Yeah, no,
filmmaker.
like you had a sign on your
That is,
forehead that said, I made a movie. And
I
everybody was like,
literally
just
was
looked at
carrying the
the
poster.
sign and looked at your husband and was like, you must be
Are you the
the
filmmaker? He's like, absolutely not.
You like know the woman sitting standing next to me with a sign on her face
Wearing a
that
big
says,
peacocky dress. I'm like, y'all gotta see me. I wore my best dress and
yeah,
everything. I
didn't
still
even
asked my
matter.
husband. Didn't even
Still
matter.
was eclipsed by whiteness.
Yes, I mean, but yeah, I mean,
And he wasn't even trying. He was like,
he wasn't
I'm
even
really
trying.
like
He's
just
holding
holding
all
her
my
purse.
bags.
Yeah, right.
He was holding
He's like, I'm
everything.
holding stuff. Look at me, please. Look at what I'm doing.
You think I made this film? But I mean, I know you asked about the magazine specifically, but like that has stuck in my mind. I mean, and it just happened, so it's fresh, but I had to have a laugh. I was like, wow, it said Lacaze Cousineau. You think that his name is Lacaze
No,
Cousineau?
they just, it just doesn't,
Even click.
it's so entrenched in us, you know, and I think,
Agreed.
and I, and so you, I mean, obviously you have to be gracious with people, like,
Yeah.
because
Yeah.
there's definitely people who do the like, oh, you write hard, and they're like surprised, but they're also
Yeah.
kind of happy. Like, it's like a happy surprise. Like,
Yes.
it's you, that's great. Like, they're
Even
actually
better.
for it, but they can't, but still, and even with the whole like, you must have a deal, like, it's still not even done in a malicious way.
Sure. It's just that mentality that's been so
But
ingrained.
it's like you, I feel like I can hear the wheels turning. Like it's like you're kind of wrestling with like, I thought it was this. I understand that like that's not working anymore and that you are alive in front of me and you exist.
Precisely.
So like
Yeah.
it's like you can see them like doing the work, like pulling the levers of like it's other things and I have to like kind of open this part of my brain.
Yeah. I do get that with the magazine. Thankfully, it's been a very warm reception. Like when I tell people in person, or you know, when I've been trying to promote it online, just people are excited about it. But I'm hoping I have found it's been a little harder, I think, to pull in more Black writers, because I do think there is that perception, like, well, do I write fantasy? Is and I'm like, anything you write that's like got a speck of magic, I want it. You know, and I do think we still have those kind of like blockades because there are people who are excited about it. And I'm trying to kind of tease out, like, let's write something, like, I'll help you, like, let's get this, you know,
Yeah, like you could do it. You
we can
can
do
do
it. Yeah, because I do think we are, I do think we're steered toward certain things
it. Yeah.
and steered away from other things. Like, I
Yeah,
don't know if
right.
that's really right for you, but that's not true.
Yeah,
What do
yeah.
you think
Or
of it?
you kind of like get in your own way. Like you're like, well, I
Yeah.
don't really write. And I mean, I did it too, where
Same.
I was like, I want to talk about when we met. I was like, yeah, I want to, showcase you, come on the podcast, blah, blah, blah. And I think you even were like, do you have anything? I was like, oh, well, I write horror. And I didn't think it would be right because the minute you said
Right.
fantasy, I was like, not that I thought. I did think elves and dragons, but I didn't necessarily think Middle Earth because I know other
Right.
folks that are, of the BIPOC community that are writing that. So I was like, I think she means like shapeshifter. Like I'm just like,
Right.
I was still like, she doesn't mean like this thing I've got here, which is about like battling dream monsters and stuff
Which
like
I love
that.
so much. Yeah. But I'm so glad you shared it. But I do think that is kind of the block. I think I'm trying to ho hopefully change that perception about what fantasy can be. It doesn't have to, you know, again, like for me, the flavor is what we bring to the table by just being who we are and like putting our dreams at the forefront, you know, and highlighting that in our writing. And I'm just so excited for the space to even exist. And I'm so lucky that I have people supporting me emotionally so that it can happen.
Holding
Because it
your
is,
bags, as it
oh yeah, holding
were.
my bags, babe.
Just
Getting,
reiterating, no, she made the
yes.
movie. No, she's the editor. No.
Right. Oh my
Her,
goodness.
like
She's the
pointing
one who's
at her.
getting this celebratory cheesecake. Not me.
Oh
So
my
yeah.
gosh,
Yeah.
yeah. So like let's like because I we have to talk about this episode. Well, the point is,
Oh, right.
yeah, like so it was like what resonated. So
Oh yeah.
the songs Humanity Lost to Dolphins came out by Shweta Taneja. So yeah, like initial thoughts, like
Oh my
what
gosh.
really stuck out for you, what
I had
landed
so
with you?
many. I took notes. Okay.
Oh, you're such a good student. She took
Only in the
notes,
classes I
everyone.
liked. Only in the classes I liked. Okay. Love the term. Okay, let me just back up. Sorry. I really loved her lyricism and her skill with language, first and foremost. I love a beautifully balanced sentence. Probably the nerdiest thing I'm ever going to say in my entire life. Put it on my tombstone. But
Here
that
lies
was
Lacaze.
here
She
was the
loved a
case.
well-balanced sentence.
Just,
Anyway.
it's like there's this silly crow what's it called, logo is on there as well. But
Right.
the concept of empathology
You're
and
right.
crafting pills for people to take to heighten their empathy.
Genius idea.
So brilliant.
Like snapshot idea right there. Just like,
Boom.
boom.
The
There's a whole world
there's a world right
with
there. That's
like
not a
five
theme.
books of just
Right.
what is
Empathology pill.
that?
Right.
Yeah.
So cool. And I something else. Well, there's a lot of something else's, but I want to hit it back to you as well. But we talk in the story about, you know, consuming and being consumed, and then I kept thinking about the ocean and drowning. You know, you're just overwhelmed by consumption. The siren song, bringing the kids,
Yeah, it
dreaming
did
of the
have
colluded seas. Ooh.
that kind of idea, right? That they're hearing
Terrifying.
this song and like going into the
Yes.
ocean. And so it is just kind of like hearken a little, like she is still in conversation with some of these classics that we might be that we all had to read. It was
Right,
like
exactly.
required
But
reading.
she flips it, you know, she
Yeah.
flips it into a tale where it starts with kids in Indonesia. And of course, it's ignored because those aren't the kids we have to protect. You know, it starts
Yeah.
in communities of color. And then when it hits Germany, or then when it hits England,
Right.
now it's a problem. Now we have to
Right.
organize. Now we have to make weapons of mass destruction. Do you know what I mean? Loved that. Again, show us the world, babe. Like, show us the world
Yeah.
as it is. That was so cool. And then I was not expecting it at the end when they came back. So.
To just circle, like tie all the bows, like beloved,
Yes.
right? When they
Yes.
came back, when all the
Back.
babies came back, and they're not the same.
Not the same. Horrific. So that really shook me. They have become hybrid cars. I wrote that line down because it's like that's something one of the capitalists says, and he's like seeing an opportunity there to exploit it. You know, we have this like sideshow attraction. And then that final line, of course, we will keep listening until we become one with the songs you will become. I was just like, oh, chills. And you know, I'm a pretty new mom, and I think about my kid probably more than it's healthy, but just the idea of nature calling him or something calling him, and I'm powerless. That's terrifying. So this hit on every fear that I've got currently.
Yeah. And also, like, again, so this is under, you know, in the anthology multi-species cities, right? And it's the subgenre of solar punk. Now, Black women are scary, we do horror, right? But I was reading some of these stories and I'm like, this is terrifying. I challenge people to, like, you know, I'm like, fight me. I think this is a horror story.
Fight me.
Yeah, like I said what I said, because like the horror of having your child suddenly not be yours, suddenly like a void, like mother is God. So to have somebody like outrank you all of a sudden is crazy town.
Yes.
And then the reality is all the babies are running into the ocean. Like, that's a nightmare.
So frightening.
That's like your worst
nightmare.
That's you buy equipment to make sure that doesn't happen, to make sure that the kid, like, you don't leave the kid alone in the bathtub.
I was about to say, bath time's scary enough. Okay.
Yeah. Like you just like, you, let alone the ocean, like that's like horrific. So like that happens. And all the other kids are like this, the line where they're talking about how some of the people, when they wanted to bomb the ocean, which is such a clam. So I'm like, this is exactly what we would, this is how we would solve the problem.
100%.
This is what we would do. We would just, we're going to kill all the dolphins. It. Yeah. We're just going to kill, we're annihilating the dolphins. How dare they? when that, you know, and they're like, our children are in there. So I'm just like, as a parent, are you just waiting for the body to go, like, it, like just the horror of that. And they're like, well, we have to do the thing for the greater good. Meanwhile, they've got rooms where they've locked up their children who are clawing at the walls, trying to jump into the ocean. Yes. And so like, what is that like?
Yeah.
That where you're visual? Like, yeah. Like where you're holding them down or locking the room and they're just, they're like, ranting and raving, like little kids. And it sounded like it was all like toddlers, like kid, like you have to be of a certain age to be doing it. Just rolling and running into the ocean. Like this is that, how is that not horrific? How is that not like the worst of the worst?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you said, and then they come back.
Chills. I thought about the like fairy tale folklore mythology of like the changeling, which some people, scientists believe, was tied to postpartum, because the idea of a changeling, for anyone who's not obsessed with fairy tales like me, a changeling is a fairy that has replaced your child. So you wake up and your baby's not right. This isn't my baby.
Oh, it's specifically baby. That, because whenever I see changeling things, it is always about a mother and a child. And I actually kind of just thought that was coincidental, but like, it is, it's baked into the fairy tale that it has to be. It is a fairy that in fact takes the place of a child.
Yes. They like are left behind and the baby is gone. And if you get your baby back, they're forever different because they have left. They've gone into like the fairy world. I'm not saying like that inspired the story at all, but that's like, you know, in my cultural awareness, I was like, oh, I recognize this. And that story always scared me. You know, that concept always scared me as a kid, the idea of being taken, as now as a parent, that something of, that's mine, my blood, my baby, that piece of me could be taken. And I would know something's wrong and no one would believe me. Cause that's another piece of the fairy tale and no one believes you. They just
They just think you're crazy. You know? And you think that comes from postpartum. Like it's like a way of like coping with this or talking about that.
That's what people thought it was, like, because sometimes postpartum, like you just, your bond is not fully formed. I'm sorry. Not a scientist. I don't fully know all the intricacies of what postpartum depression looks like, but they like sociologists have like kind of arrived at, maybe like, that's because fairy tales come from everywhere, like
yeah, right, right,
anxieties,
right.
So maybe an explanation for why this fairy tale was so prevalent, was trying to explain the symptoms of postpartum. Like, this mother is depressed, and that's why she can't share that bond with her kid. You know what I mean? So,
or just kind of like the mental whatever gymnastics that needs to happen, where it's like, this person was in your body.
Yeah.
And now they're not.
Now they're not.
Now they're just like outside of you and autonomous. And
it's terrifying.
Why wouldn't that be weird?
it's incredibly weird.
It's weird that they're in your, like, just the fact that your body is like being shared is already weird. But then you do that for 9 months and you get used to it. And then they become their own autonomous entity outside of you, like running around and talking and thinking things and making decisions eventually. Hopefully they become their own person.
Fingers crossed.
But like, the umbilical cord must be cut, literally.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively and emotionally and spiritually. I mean, and so how is that not going to be weird for both people?
It's so weird. And I mean,
too, I'm sure. I mean, we don't develop memories until two, but I wonder if maybe that's why. Because if we could remember all that, I don't know.
I wouldn't do it. Well, that's to say nothing of like what it looks like to be a mother in any era, but especially in an era when like you don't have like a lot of support. You know, what does that look like? I remember it took me like 2 days to like really cry. Like, you know, I saw videos of moms like, oh, you like get the baby, and it's like, oh, and I was just like, oh, he's gray. You
know, it was like, yuck, this is covered slime.
I just had a cone. So like, it really took like 2 days for me to like really absorb what I had done, you know, what I was in charge of. Well, of course, sharing with my partner, my husband, but like, this is on me. Like, hell to the nah, I need some help, you know.
Right. You trust me with this? You're just gonna let me walk out of the hospital? Sure. You don't want to like background check or any? Do I need to apply for a license? Nothing. Okay, you're just gonna give me this whole person. Just good luck.
Right. I barely shower out as it is. No, but so that was a winding road to come back to like, just that idea of like, maybe like your child coming back and not really being yours, and like, I don't know, like that anxiety just felt so real. It was very visceral for me.
Not yours. And they try so many things.
Yeah.
They try so many things to get them back. And then eventually they have to give up.
They have to.
And it's like, I have to change. Mm-hmm. I have to, and like, it seemed as though the change in their children was physiological as well. Like, they had gills.
Yeah. And they're covered in moss.
Yeah. Like, they don't even look the same.
Eyes were off. Yeah, I know.
They're hybrid cars. Like, they're not even, you don't even share the same DNA anymore. Like,
what does that mean? We'll get to that question later. But like, I so loved this. Just like, it gave me so many things to chew on. About, so really quickly, at the film festival I was at, I was on a panel. Then I stayed for a panel of one of the ladies I met who I really loved, and she talked about her film is kind of like a magical exploration of like Senegalese culture and like future and love and relationships. But she was talking about what makes us as humans, we don't really have to be magical, but what makes us magical is we're connected to everything. And in this story, we see kids who have become fully like reconnected, and like, why is that scary? You know, because we didn't decide for them to do it. You know what I mean? So like that's kind of what I was thinking about as well. Like, what does it really mean to be connected? And like, what do we lose anything? You know, if they've come back, do we lose anything really? So I don't know.
I mean, it seems like it's like they come back and they're so connected, and their connection highlights the mother's lack thereof. Mm-hmm. Like, then the mother's, at least that are telling the story, have to contend with the fact that they have been disconnected from nature, from the planet, and most specifically from this song. They literally cannot hear the song, and they're just like, what are you supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? We've been disconnected for so long, and now you want us to do this? Like, it's almost like, come on. Right. You know, they're a little like, okay, I guess we'll get it going. And they're trying everything. They want to take the pill. It's like, how do we increase our empathy? Like, it gets desperate. Like, we want empathy too now, you know, like, mm-hmm. So being able to reconnect with yourself and with your place on the planet, that's what I feel like it is also somehow what this story is about. There's like this environmental justice, like the earth like spoke and the earth reclaimed a generation of children. And then like, what do you do to not get left behind?
Absolutely. I love what you said. I feel like that's okay. Sorry, I had 35 thoughts at once. Based on what you said. But earlier you mentioned that we don't really form memories until we're like 2, 3, or in the case of my husband, 17. I wonder if that's a piece of like why the toddler, like toddlers and young children, like you haven't formed that attachment, that memory, that like cultural awareness yet, and like you are still malleable. I just I don't know. I love those little details. Like this is like the purest
Right, not like a
crystal ball of like,
7-year-old who would really be aware of the fact that they're like, I think I'm gonna drown. You know, like they would like, there would be like just a little more, like a first grader would be like, maybe would go kicking and screaming or would be, I would feel it and try to fight it because they're like, water is, if I go underwater, I won't be like, they have just like a, the language and the skills to do that, you know?
They're not at that, pure distilled form anymore. Oh gosh, this was so good. We could definitely talk about every little piece. I mean, it was chock full of just amazing themes and gave me a lot to think about. I really enjoyed. And I love the performance too that you all did to bring it to life. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, she had mentioned how it was meant to be. She, the idea of having it be a chorus, because that is, in fact, like a form of storytelling in India. And so she's like, I hope, you know, she suggested like get a couple of actors to do it. And I was like, let's give this a go. And I do think
Beautiful.
that like that helps, like understanding it's like mothers who are like addressing their children after the fact.
And
Like,
I look, oh, I'm sorry.
no, just like I'm imagining, like, it's also like a flashback. On top of everything, it's a flashback.
We're moving forward. We're catching up to where they are. And I really loved, like, now that I know that it was meant to be like a chorus, that echo effect you all did. I thought that was because of like echolocation in the sea. I'm a nerd who watches way too much Animal Planet, but no, that makes sense. Like when you're performing a story, you're gonna have that rippling choral effect. Yeah, it's really beautiful.
Yeah, it's like in the writing too, of like you can hear it, like even when, you know, the actors were reading it, you know, she's like, Joy Lynn, who's sort of the main narrator, said, I kind of want to like sing it, like I get into it. And I was like, don't fight that. Like it is almost kind of like you said, it's lyrical and it does have that like sense of the water in it. So it's like, let's just go with it.
You did.
But the echo effects is Gabe, who also read a bit as well. She's in there, she's one of the voices, but she was a sound
Oh yeah.
designer.
Fabulous. Go
She's
ahead.
that's her. That's all her. Shout out to Gabe Castro, our sound designer.
Get it, Gabe.
Yeah, sorry for like bumping. This microphone picks up everything. I'm trying to like not
It
move, but like
gonna like hear like your like a hair shed.
I know. I'm just like, dude,
It's good
microphones.
though.
So yes, so that's what resonated. And then I think I had like another thing, which is like possible sequels.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. So I had two ideas for a sequel. I would love to like for like another short story, but like the evolution of the Earth from the dolphin's perspective, like up until like taking the kids and returning them. I would love
Ooh.
to hear like what like see through the eyes of the dolphins.
Ooh.
And then another one I would love would be a child who can't hear or feel the song. And what does that look like if you're the only one left who just couldn't hear it? You can't hear
Yeah.
it, or you're watching a sibling be taken. So yeah, I again, I those are just two, but I feel like there's so many ways you could spin this bad boy out.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by older siblings. Like a whole thing that's just from older siblings and this
Oh
kind
yeah.
of like generational gap, not just from parent to baby, but just like even closer, like a few years.
Yeah.
And like what happens when your younger sister or brother or they person is covered in moss and gills. And it's like a marker of like, oh, they're a child of that time and you were too old.
Yeah. Or to like you were born 6 years later. Like what are these kids like as adults now?
Yeah.
Terrifying. That's a
But
good idea.
I'm interested in just like a brother, sister, brother, just like a sibling group.
Yeah, I like
Like
that.
the details of just that, of like when they went, when they came back, and like what was it like? What happens? Like when they become teenagers, what is this like?
Yeah, that's
That you can
good.
do these things and it's only a few years. I think it'd be interesting if it's like it's only like 2 or 3 years.
I think so too. I think that'd be great because just old enough, but not too old to not. There's like that sense of wonder is still there, you know, like something that you don't understand. That's great. And it'd be
So
really
like
cool.
a cluster, like I think it would be like interesting to explore like between like just one sibling group, but also maybe like a class, like at a school. So it's
Ooh.
like you have the differences in like the ones who think that, you know, their younger sibling is just kind of magical. They think it's cool. Maybe they learn a couple of things and they kind of acclimate and hybridize on their own, but just not
Ooh.
fully like in a sense that they can like code switch or something in a way that like older generations can't even just figure out even how to talk to that kid. And then
Yeah.
also some of the siblings who felt abandoned, who are, and it creates this permanent rift between them.
Yeah, beautiful. There's so much that you could explore with those relationships.
Yeah, I think that would be. I wonder about that. Should we get into our travels?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay. I wasn't sure how many I should write. I wrote two. Is that
Oh
okay?
my God.
Is that bad? Is
No,
that
you're such a
good?
good
Oh,
student.
God. Okay, do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
Go ahead, go first.
Okay, so I didn't title them. I just wrote. Okay, so here's the first one. I don't remember the taste of my mother's milk. There is only salt and silt and sea on my tongue. My sisters and brothers were called home long ago. The songs turned them inward and outward until the only way forward was up. But I remain. There was no love calling me back to a warm bosom. The waves embrace me now. I am sea. I am sinking into darkness and cold, but I am. I am. The song calls me deeper into every crevice and cove where other creatures dodge the circles of plastic that freckle our home. Fingers, mine, touch the once familiar, once all-consuming roughness of the world above. I was, but now I am, the sea.
Yeah, I'm actually gonna read mine, and then you can read your second one because because I think it's apt
Okay,
based
let's
on
do
what
it.
you just said. This one's just called Dolphins Drabble.
Yes.
I was just like, that's what I entitled it. I just think it's funny. Okay, so I was a baby when I ran into the ocean, never intending to see my mom again. It was the song. I remember the way it felt across inside my whole body. I thought I was going home and that my mom was my auntie, Miss Lady, somebody nice who looked after me for a while. I don't remember the ocean, just the feeling of being loved, cared for, and complete. After that, when I came back, when we all came back, nobody knew what to do with us. They were afraid, confused. Some could not love us like they did before. My mom was just sad, and then all she did was try to hear the song, our song. She just wanted to be close again. It was like that until she died. She wanted to be cremated and scattered into the now crystal clean ocean. I followed her wishes. Now I only hear her song, and I spend days out at sea.
I love that. So the mom finally found the song, huh? I
Yeah.
love that. That's
But
so
it's like
good.
in depth, you know, and so it's just kind of this idea, like I think we're both writing from the perspective of,
Yes,
well, the
of
kids. Just like,
the kids.
what is this like? You know?
Right. That's perfect.
How does this disrupt your whole childhood and
Right.
this essential relationship with your mother?
I love the way we also have that, like, you have one who came back and I have one who couldn't come back. And that's so like a
Yeah,
cool
I thought that
balance
was
too.
cool too. Like, I was like, I
Yeah.
didn't even think about how some might be like, I'm good.
Oh,
Just like
bye.
stay in the ocean. Okay, so
I'm
what's your
actually
second one?
writing. Okay, so or I'll just read it, then I'll tell you like what I was thinking about when I wrote it. So the moss clings to his suit in clumps, leaving handprints in the fine fabric, dusting over his shoes and slacks. Children are too tactile, too excitable to stand back when a new face is in their midst, or so said his chief of staff. They need to smile together, be seen together, to curtail the tragedy that was their return. He knows, as president, that the only thing worse than a lost child is a changed child. And these children are shadows of what humans are meant to be. They aren't still in the way normal children are. Their stillness is unsettling, or they sway as if still in the clutches of the sea. Did you hear the song? One child asks, eyes milk-ridden and deep like all those that were returned. My mama said she heard the song when I came home. He can feel the camera zoom in. He hears the held breaths of the nation waiting for him to be the one to set it right, to tell the lie that is all well again. To tell the lie that will set it all well again. He knows they all might never breathe again if that is the end they hope to see. He settles for a lie no one will want to disprove. Your mother must be very happy to have you home, as we all are. The child, with those eyes that have seen the depths of the sea, look into him as well. He needs another term. In another term, they can move forward, not back, they can forget. The moss clings to him all the way back to his painted over palace with its bustling veins and loud pulse. And there, in a room that none enter in the daylight, sits his own child with eyes that see too much and a body that never ceases to sway. He needs another term. So I was kind of thinking about, because it was September 11th, I was thinking about that video footage when Bush found out about it. I was thinking, yeah, I was like, what would a president do in this situation? You know, that's where my mind went with that one.
I love the only thing worse than a lost child is a changed child.
Thanks.
I was like, oh my God, that's heartbreaking. Because it's true. Like,
Yeah, it's like,
and just like what that means, right? Like, wow, the only thing worse than a lost child is a changed child. Just the ramifications of that. How that can apply to any situation.
right. I for better or worse, watched like a lot of Dateline, and I was thinking about, you know, kids who are, of course, like so happy when kids are returned from being like abducted,
Yeah.
but it seems like the way it ripples, everyone has changed, and like who the parents thought they were and would be is different, and like what they have to go through, and you know, parents who do it right get them in therapy, and parents who don't, like it's just like a tragedy all over again, you know, so.
I mean, how do you contend with that? You know, I think it's like anything coming back, or like, it's like veterans coming back, right?
Yeah.
Do you know,
Oh,
it's just,
yeah.
it's like, and now all of that that happened, they bring it back. Healing is not fun and it's not glamorous and it
No.
takes time. It's not linear. And we're not good at it. So, like as a society, we've nothing in place
Right.
really. We've no infrastructure around it. We don't have like
Not a priority.
a shared understanding of it. I think we're grappling with that now. People are talking about healing and talking about what can be done to heal and talking about like what like actual systems could be put into place
Right.
to help make that just a part of how of our civilization.
Thinking about you taking off your mask, I remember like the first time like I had like waxed my lip in preparation for being bared.
You're like, wait, I have to get my face ready.
Oh no, they're gonna see my face. Like, let me, okay.
Oh
Let me
my
clean this
God.
sucker up. I like my dad, like I was just like full mustache. Like, let me, you know, I'm like, well, wait a second, why do I have to wax it? But I did, and it was very painful. But yeah, just that like returning to like the people was really hard.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
Even if you wanted to, and I
even if
wanted
you wanted
to, like
to.
I missed people, but they also scared me.
Yeah, same. I just love being around people. You know, it has been great, but hard for me to be existing mostly online, because I remember as a kid, I was like, oh, when I grow up, I'm gonna wear so many cool outfits to work. No, that's what I thought about.
I
I
love
watched
that
it.
that was a dream you had when you were a child. Just to
Like,
go back
oh
to the whole,
man.
you are a good student. I'm gonna wear so many cool outfits to work. Like, that
My dream. Like, what out? What shoes? What top? That was like the height of my aspirations. Like, not like winning any kind of award, but like, what am I gonna wear?
dream.
And now it's like, I don't know how to be around people really. Like, this film festival was a like that was a marathon. Just being around people and like giving and receiving compliments was weird. You know what I mean? Just like, oh, like I like your thing, or I liked your movie, and just like kind of staring at each other and like saying nice things to each other. It was so strange.
In
And like
person, yeah, like
in person,
live in person,
I've
yeah.
noticed we're all a lot more tactile and like touchy now too. Like, where I didn't used to be, just like touching elbows and shoulders and like getting really close.
It's just interesting little things that have like manifested, depending on where you are, you know. So it's like now, but it, yeah, I definitely had to like practice being around people. I had to do it in small doses. I had to like, and mostly around strangers. It's like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't so much like seeing people I knew, because that was happening. We were figuring that out.
Oh, for
So it
sure.
was just kind of like, I'm gonna go to a place where I'm gonna meet new people and talk to people at length.
How?
Now, how am I gonna do this? Like, how do I feel
What does
about
that
this?
look
What's my exit strategy? How long
like?
can I do it?
Yeah, for real. It's
Like,
exhausting.
how long can I do it? You know, and so like getting into that, and also like, and that, and battling any anxieties I have around it, you know, that I didn't have before.
I was just gonna say that I have a lot of new anxieties around being around people and missing it, but still just being exhausted by it. Like, story time, that little 30-minute kick is about all I got in me lately around a bunch of, just snot-nosed kids. Adorable, but just wild. And it's funny, like, a lot of us parents have forgotten to act in public too. Like, some of the moms just like take off their shoes. Like, we're all just like rolling around. Like, it's just a mess. We've returned to the wild, is what I'm saying. We've
Well,
returned.
and you know, and maybe some of it is fine. Like, there's also certain
It's
things
like,
that I learned in that time where I was like, you know what, I let go of this thing and I think I'm just gonna let it go.
like the
Like,
things we held
actually,
on
that was
to.
whack.
Yeah, it
No,
was. Like, why do we need a 40 hour work week? That doesn't make
like,
sense.
yeah, there's certain quality of life things that I think, if you had the privilege to even be able to think about that, because some people didn't.
Yeah, a lot of us
You know,
didn't.
people were having very different, that's the other thing. People had very different experiences. Excuse me.
Oh, sure.
Depending on, you know, their jobs.
Yeah. 100%.
So that's rough. But we will do what we can to learn the songs that you sing, right? Yeah.
Do we have
It's kind
to?
of like, it's like we all need the anthology pill, I think.
We do. God, line it up for me.
Yeah, I'm for that. I'm for discovering the songs again and getting connected,
Me too.
and all the empathology, like the him just thinking like that there was a character, it's like I've distilled it into a pill. It's like I think what it is, it's about you need to discover it
Yeah,
in
it's just a
yourself.
Skittle. Right.
Yeah, but we definitely need some more empathology in our society.
It leads to so many amazing opportunities. I mean, I really and truly have found that working with you and working with other writers and having this little magazine that, is very small in any kind of scheme of things, has opened me up to like rediscovering a little bit of that spark, that magic in the world. And that's not the point of anything. I don't know what is,
That sounds like a good note to end on. That's like a positive, like, yay,
We did it.
magic. Thank you for tuning in to our Flash Fiction Fridays. Support Spooky Black Chicks with a tax-deductible contribution through the link in the bio or by leaving a rate and review. Tune in at the end of the month for our Final Fridays, where we speak with featured author Shweta Taneja. Till next time.